Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and Rush 89FM in Hamilton. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest for you today. Her name is Claire Swinney, and she's a member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, and indeed, when she made a complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority, she was institutionalized for thinking that 9/11 was an inside job. Psychiatrists claiming that because she believed that, it was evidence of delusion. And the judge, of course, agreed and didn't, of course, didn't do any looking into it, thinking of about how concrete can be pulverized into dust by fire. And on top of that, she is a incredible researcher when it comes to chemtrails. I believe her website is chemtrailsnorthnz.wordpress.com. Oh, no, ClaireSwinney.wordpress.com. And she has been, by all accounts, one of the best freedom advocates in this country in terms of critical analysis and intelligent writing. This would probably be because she was a investigative journalist in a previous life. Claire, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, Vinnie. And hi, Will.
Hi, Claire. Just to go through some of your background in mainstream media, you were a Qantas Media Awards nominee or a winner?
That was for something I wrote for the a local paper about it was to do with recycling, actually, and it was related to significant impact on the community in 2003.
Just trying to say that you've had mainstream media credibility, and you've written for Investigate magazine and Uncensored magazine for some time, and then you can't critique a TVNZ documentary lying about 9/11, could you?
No. Once you scratch the surface of the facade that's been created, it doesn't take long to realise that this is the Fourth Reich that we're living in, really. Yeah, it's quite frightening.
The rise of fascism is just a fabulous little. It's almost like a movie for some people, as if it's not real. And you know, the reality is seriously rough most of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, your speciality these days is more along the lines of chemtrails, and how did you first become aware of chemtrails, or aka aerosols?
I first became aware of chemtrails about 5 or 6 years ago. Luckily enough, a friend sent me a copy of Clifford Carnicom's excellent documentary called Aerosol Crimes. And I recommend that everyone watch that one. It's excellent, and you can find it on the internet. Carnicom believes chemtrails have 7 functions at least, and the documentary touched on the weather modification aspect of their use, and he mentioned when they were being seen, drought was occurring. And so when my friends and I started to see chemtrails appearing in Northland, which is at the it's right at the top of New Zealand, and there's a lot of farmers here, and the economy's been hit pretty badly by the drought, of course, the droughts, I should say. When we started to see the chemtrails and the drought, we quickly realised that what was being done was being done deliberately, and so we started to document what was happening. We videotaped, took photographs, and we started up the website so people could see the evidence for themselves. And I think a lot more and more people are starting to realise that the weather here has been behaving so bizarrely that there is some tinkering of it going on. And so, Yeah, the.
I mean, a lot of people aren't even aware, Claire. Just sorry to interrupt. A lot of people aren't even aware of the phenomenon of weather modification that has been going on for some time. You know, at least a particular individual, Ross Hoffman, who was who worked for NASA, has got, going back 25 years, had the idea of using changes within the environment to alter the trajectory of hurricanes and storms and turn dark days bright even. I mean, and NASA's had a number of little front groups and organizations, you know, $4 million here, $400,000 there. Bill Gates has funded the Japanese scientists, what was it, like $200,000 last year to investigate such phenomena. And so just to break it down to people, it is a real phenomenon, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And Obama's science advisor, John P. Holdren, mentioned weather modification technology in the book Eco-Science that he co-authored that was published in the 1970s. And also Zbigniew Brzezinski mentioned the use of weather modification to create droughts in the book he published, Between Two Ages, in 1970. So here we have two top advisors who are talking about using weather modification technology. And lo and behold, look what happens around the world.
It's a global agenda here that's going down, right? But, you know, who's behind it? We have something along the lines of at least a couple wealthy billionaires who have donated money, like Bill Gates and whatnot. And what signs have you seen that the weather's actually being modified or that technologies are being used to mess with it?
Okay. For example, I spent a few hours at the top of a it's a site called Parahaki here, which is 242 metres above sea level. And I thought, I'll spend a few hours up here photographing what they're up to. And sure enough, I watched this, what looked like man-made cloud material filling in along a straight line, and I took photographs of that. People can see the photographs on the website. And I saw wave formations, which had to have been man-made. And also in early 2010, during the period of the drought here, I saw this huge circular indentation in cloud material. And there's no way that could have been created by the wind. I've seen quite a few chemtrails, which I'm guessing have been used as markers, so the those behind the technology can watch to see what the jet stream is doing in real time. They can watch what the particulates are doing, how fast they're moving, and we've been seeing these kind of things throughout the year, and the sky has been filled up with this man-made muck. And it's actually very, very sad to see, because this was a pristine area. It's got a low population, and I just find it very... The people behind this must be crazy if they think that... what can I say? I just find it...
To put it this way, a lot of people don't realise just how complicated a field this is, and it involves a number of a number of inputs. And one is the HAARP base they have in Alaska. HAARP standing for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, and what it's thought to do, or what it's ostensibly designed to do, is transmit high power radio frequency signals into the ionosphere. And it's just part of a research program, and ostensibly for past the line of sight radar systems. British American Aerospace is involved with this. Of course, the US government and the defense arms are involved with this. But it could have, as a number of these technologies do, multiple reasons for its existence.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Some have postured the idea that this could be used to heat certain parts of the atmosphere. And so if you, for instance, create a high-pressure system next to a low-pressure system, you would be able to feed into an existing storm and magnify its strength by some factor. Another mm-hmm. another effect of this, could, by varying the amplitude and frequency of the waves they're putting out, is they could induce violent movements within tectonic plates mm-hmm. beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And one side effect of ionizing the atmosphere is a Northern Lights type phenomena. And during the, was it 2008 earthquakes we saw in China, a particular massive earthquake and several large aftershocks, there was a Northern Lights phenomenon at such geographical position as mainland China. You can go onto YouTube or anywhere and see these rainbow type effects without rain in the sky. Quite unheard of. Had people scratching their heads, didn't it? So this is the sort of technology we're up against, and it's black ops budgets, mm-hmm. and the government doesn't have to tell you anything.
Mm-hmm. And barium is mentioned on the Hart patent, which is an ingredient that's common to chemtrails. So I see in...
Yeah. It's spraying barium and aluminium. Can you explain to people why they might want to use these heavy metal oxides?
I think one of the reasons that they may be using barium is because it's got unique properties. It's apparently the nano-sized barium is highly reflective and it's very, very white. And electrically, they're using electrically charged particles, and I think... one of the reasons they may be doing this is that it acts as a medium, and when they apply their directed energy weapons on it, they can see the wave formations appearing in it, whereas normal cloud matter, I understand, doesn't have those qualities. So they may be using it. I've noticed here that they'll have an aerosol operation, and you can see... wave formation sometimes developing in the material all over the place above the central Whangarei area, and this occurs every few weeks, and it may be that they're using the material as a means of establishing how their technology is working, perhaps. And also inputting the data into their computer models associated with weather modification technology. Yeah.
So you're saying it's these ions they use, aluminium, barium, whatever sort of heavy metals they're using, they act like iron filings around a magnet in being able to trace the lines of flux or lines of force. Just for research mm-hmm. purposes, or to see the effects of direct energy weapons or whatever space-based weapons they have?
I don't know, but it could be one of the things that they're doing because I've noticed, for example, a plane will come and spray a trail and obvious ripple patterns appear in the trail. And And that's obviously on a clear day, otherwise they wouldn't be able to see the trails.
Talk about some of the chemtrails. Can you speak to some of these chemtrails being evidenced by actual flight data recorders, or is there any sort of tangible evidence you can point to satellite evidence of chemtrails, for instance?
No. There was some interesting information that came out a few days ago from via Patriot Spaces YouTube channel, and he did an interview with a friend of his called Virginia Silcox, who was who works with the Department of Energy, and she spoke about the budget, which is unclassified, for the Air Force, and she pointed out that from what she could understand, from what she's learned, that they're talking about the use of chemtrails and that, and you can see when you go through this budget, it's 27 pages long, that they are developing this technology. You can see how much they want to invest in it, how far it's progressing, and it seems that it's something that they value as a means of, I suppose, global domination. If you also have a look at the report that was written, I think it was 96, wasn't it, the Owning the Weather in 2025.
And all these reports are totally mainstream, aren't they? I mean, if someone just wants to test out this theory here, they can look up House Resolution in the House of Representatives, 2977, this is October 2nd, 2001, submitted by Dennis Kucinich, I believe. This is the Space Preservation Act of 2001. And in Section 7B, chemtrails are listed as an exotic weapon. Such terms include exotic weapon systems such as chemtrails, come up with second on the list here, plasma, electronic, sonic, ultrasonic weapons, laser weapon systems, strategic theater, chemical, biological, environmental, climate, or tectonic weapons. I mean, but chemtrails are right there in a White House document. Not contrails.
Yep. And they still deny it anyway. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Claire Swinney, live from New Zealand. We'll be right back after the break. Please don't desert me. Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will! On AmericanFreedomRadio.com and Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, our very special guest joining us live from the fabulous, hot, sweaty Northland, New Zealand. It's Claire Swinney from ClaireSwinney.wordpress.com. Welcome back, love.
Hello.
Hello. Now, talking over the break about, you know, justification for the weather modification. What kind of reasons would they want to be manipulating the weather?
Follow the money, and also look at some of the statements that have been made by the global warming advocates. Like, for example, today it was reported. The Irish Times. December the 20th reported, quote, high temperatures in 2010 have also been matched by a series of extreme weather events across the world, including droughts and floods in China, India, Pakistan, Russia and the US. The HSBC report noted, quotation marks, but are these driven by man-made global warming, question mark? NASA's James Hansen is clear. Would these events have happened if atmospheric carbon dioxide had remained at its pre-industrial level of 280 parts per million? His answer is almost certainly not. And essentially, the sequence of events this year matches the projections of the IPCC of, quotation marks, more frequent and more intense extreme weather events due to global warming, close quotation marks. So it's the usual suspects. And also in New Zealand, the New Zealand Green Party released an article on December the 1st, which was titled "More Droughts, Erosion, If No Progress at Cancun." And it was mentioned, we can expect more erosion and dry spells like the one affecting growers around the country if no progress is made at Cancun, said Green Party spokesperson on international climate change negotiations, Dr. Kennedy Graham, who incidentally used to work for the UN. And so it seems like they're very keen to get the carbon taxes, and also perhaps another reason could be that they may be creating droughts and causing floods to affect crops because...
So Monsanto. So Monsanto can come in and save us.
Yeah, and also, you know, Kissinger wrote about using famine as a weapon to reduce population numbers in National Security Study Memorandum 200. And I think one of the things that they could well be doing is they're using this technology to wipe out crops, and they're going to be pushing the food prices up, and a percentage is going to end up finding life very, very difficult, I think.
Exactly, and, exactly. I mean, people think about oil and weapons as a huge industry. They don't realize how big food, how big of an industry food is, and they somehow think that no one would be immoral enough to tamper with anything to do with the economies of food. But then when you look at, for instance, just here in New Zealand, what the average farmer is taking back out of every dollar they generate, 6.2 cents. Yeah? 6.2 cents in New Zealand agriculture returns to the actual farmer. On top of that, now they've introduced this tax, and now New Zealand's carbon change, climate change ETS, emissions trading scheme or scam, is worth over $1 billion. But the contribution from New Zealand to the global emissions research is only $45 million. So the ETS is $1.06 billion, and the contribution is $45 million. Who's making money here? Well, it goes back to the IMF and the World Bank, doesn't it? And so even if you believe in the problem, so believing in the problem of climate change is paving the way for these megacorps to come in and tax us and control us and make us all live in more mediocre fashion.
So they can turn us into a bunch of megacorpses.
And it's just... It's just so evil, and I can't believe that the average so the average person who either can or can't think about this. If you do think about it, you're a denier. You're a climate denier. You're a climate skeptic. You can't be skeptical. The science is settled. It's too late for talk now, and all that sort of stuff that Rothschild and Soros and Gore come up with. But I mean, but the average New Zealander now is paying 3 cents a litre at the pump on all the gas extra because of this phony tax that's as tangible as the air.
And an extra 5% on our power bills. And God knows how that filters down through the businesses and who actually have to pay that extra as well.
And I called up Vector Energy about that and asked to speak to the chief monkey there. And I got halfway through the tribe of monkeys and got this sorry-ass PR rep. And he just said to me, look, the government says we have to pay this certain contribution. And I said, how much is it? And he said, well, we've estimated that it's going to be 5% per month in every customer. I said, so you estimated it, but is it 5 or is it 4.8% or is it 3%? That's just an estimation. So they're making money there. That's why the corpse of climate change, because Exxon, when when they just round it to 3 cents a litre on, you know, on BP or on Mobil or on anyone else, you don't think there's like fractions of cents being made here. People don't think that about this stuff. They don't realise that even if 0.1 of a cent is being made in every transaction, that's millions of dollars.
It's a big money-making scheme, in other words, and it has absolutely nothing to do with saving the environment or helping humanity, you know? If anything, it's to do with destroying the environment and destroying humanity as a result, so that they can basically, you know, take over the whole frickin' world and have it all for themselves.
So here we have people in this country largely whinging and moaning about dole bludgers. Who, when I last looked at the numbers, it's about 67 million dollars in benefit fraud. That's what they estimate. But here we have over $1 billion, and just on this one phony tax, we could go through all the other dozens of phony taxes in this country, in the world, hundreds. But this is more ridiculous than I said it before. This is more ridiculous than the window tax of the late 1600s in Britain. I mean, it's just so. Generic and vague, and it's just like the war on terror. You know, Al-Qaeda could be anywhere. CO2 is everywhere. And they just like these omnipotent blanket problems so they can have blanket solutions and just drive us into blanket socialism-communism.
Yeah, and it's worrying that they are teaching students at university about global warming, and then they come out and thinking that they know it all. And they're quite difficult to they're quite difficult to wake up, aren't they?
They've already been converted into the church of Gauzyism.
The church of climatology. I will save you. Just stay and praise the climate. Praise the climate.
it's so absurd. We've had 4.5 billion years of climate change. If they believe in their own mainstream science, we've got ice core records that show that we have an increase in temperature preceding an increase in CO2, and then we can evidence that another way by saying the oceans are the largest contributor to CO2, and to warm the oceans to the point where they start evaporating more takes a huge amount of time because of the depth and width of, 70-odd percent by surface area of this planet, 71% being oceans, and water having a high specific heat capacity of like 4,200 joules per mole or whatever it is. It takes a long time to heat that water up. And so that makes up the 400 to 800 year delay in temperature to CO2 increase. And I just can't believe how these supposedly smart university students can't see it, and then everyone else can't think enough to care about it.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, isn't it? Very, very intelligent people have been given the idea that consuming is wrong as well. And I've spoken to a couple of young people over the last few weeks, and they echo the same kind of thoughts that humans are bad, we're consuming, we shouldn't be consuming, and one of them more or less implied that it wouldn't be a bad idea if we were all killed as well. So it really makes you wonder.
Why don't they start by killing themselves? Well, these people, they say we're consuming too much, they say all these things. If they really, really mean it, they need to go out and kill themselves.
Yeah, well, I said that to one of them. Yeah, I said, oh, well, why don't you go and commit suicide then if you think that way? And, he went quite quiet, but, the mentality.
They want to have a socialist dictator. They want to have a socialist dictator, and they want to be rounded up and killed by someone more powerful than them. They want to be the offering, the sacrifice, because they're too cowardly to do it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we're living in a neo-Aztec society, really.
They really think greed and capitalism got us into the situation. They really think that's all there is to it. Sure, there's some greed. Sure, I don't agree with the neo-con model that to have a successful business, it has to have profit upon profit upon profit, and we're just going to destroy forests and indigenous people to get more profit. I don't agree with that. I agree with progress, though. I'm not against business models. But see, people can't see. They see it as black or white. They see the system as it is polluting and killing the planet, and this is a capitalist greed system. So therefore, the answer mm-hmm. is a leftist socialist equality, and we make everything equal by taxing the hell out of everyone. And that's mm-hmm. what they think the solution is, because they don't understand that this isn't capitalism, that this is a merger of any ism that supports elitism.
It's like mm-hmm. It's like a communist economy run by a fascist government, and it's very, very interesting the combination as they come up, because as we do know, and I'm sure our listeners understand, that they were created by more or less the same group of sociopathic scumbag, filthmongering, etc., etc. To basically just, you know, make sure that there's a fiat currency so that it can all be easily controlled, you know, and people
and
will, like,
right,
laugh
left
at me. And people will laugh at me and saying that fiat currency, you know, that doesn't give anybody control over anybody. It's like, really? When you go to work, how hard do you have to work in order to make $100? You probably have to do an entire day's work, and maybe if you're a very highly skilled person, maybe half a day's work. In order to make $100, if you're a central banker, hey, you don't make $100. You make a couple of million at a time off the printing presses. In fact, they don't even do the printing presses no more. They just make it up on a frigging computer.
And so some right-wingers take that wrong, Vinny. Some right-wingers say, oh, you're jealous and envious of those wealthy people. They worked harder and they deserve to be there. You know, nothing to do with being a blue-blood Satanist demon worshiping bloody basis. But, you know... And look, I know some of these wealthy families, I know some individuals, but then on the other side of things, you have the left saying, well, just take the $100 example before. How long it takes to work for $100, and how easily can you spend that? No, does it take 8 hours to spend $100 if you walk through Queen Street? But if you work in Queen Street for 8 hours for $100. So that disparity between how easy it is to gain versus how easy it is to lose is the disparity that exists in the system. And it's by design. If the system were completely random and not conspired or organized in any way, then you would see random events and favoring us sometimes, favoring the government sometimes. But all we see is just more power, more collectivism, mm-hmm. more tax, everything gravitates towards them. So it's not random.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not freaking fair, really, is it? And people really need to wake up to this and do something about it. Our very special guest is Claire Swinney, all the way from New Zealand. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. With Will! Coming at you live from the future, it's the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. It's a fabulous Tuesday, December 21st, for those of you in the United States think it's Monday, December 20. And I hope we take the mundane out of Monday for you. Our very special guest is Claire Swinney, coming at us live from New Zealand. Welcome back, Claire.
Hi.
All right. Now, the government itself, negotiations, advocation, what's your experience with these clowns?
Well, when I wrote to Nick Smith, the Minister for the Environment, this is on the 23rd of February, when we're in the thick of the drought here.
Well, this is our climate cultist minister, is it?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
For climate change issues as well. As Minister for the Environment.
Isn't that a little bit of a conflict of interest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, I put it to him that it was apparent weather modification technology was being used, and it wasn't a new idea, obviously, because it was mentioned 40 years ago by National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter, Brzezinski, in his book. which was published in 1970. And I suggested to Dr. Smith that weather modification technology was being used to induce drought in order to win sympathy for the increasingly unpopular emissions trading scheme in New Zealand. Or as you put it, emissions trading scam. And he replied on the 5th of May that his officials had advised him that there was no evidence this technology was being used. Yeah, right. All you need to do is look up and you can see all these trails and the grid patterns, and which is apparently evidence of scalar electromagnetic technology, which has been used in the US, according to Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden. And so the scientific evidence is there to show it is being used, but no. Of course, he claims there's no evidence technology has been used to modify Northland's climate. And he wrote, it is in any event unlikely that such technology would be effective in a marine environment such as Northland's, which was a bit of a strange comment to make. Makes you wonder where he thinks it would be effective, doesn't it?
Well, this is the thing that I find with a lot of our ministers is that they'll say outright without looking at any evidence, of course, mm-hmm. that there is no evidence because they haven't looked for it.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Will Ryan of the Clear Skies Action Group in Nelson, where Dr. Smith lives, has met him when planes have been flying overhead spraying chemtrails. And Will says, I pointed them out to him, and it's so obvious because there's a number of planes spraying and you know, the trails are hanging there, turning into cloud material. But Dr. Smith apparently just looks up at it and says, oh, no, those are just condensation trails. And I understand from Will that it almost seems as if he's convinced himself that these are just condensation trails. So I don't know. It's maybe his advisors are telling him that it's all a hoax, and these people writing letters are delusional. So who knows?
By the way, just to add to how stupid some of these people are, that the guy down Clear Skies Action Group, Will Ryan, is in Nelson. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Claire?
Yeah, that's right.
I was called by a particular, won't name the guy, at TV1, following that. Following the incident, and told that I was being discussed in Parliament that day, and told all this, that, and the other, and they wanted to interview me ASAP and all the rest of it. And I said, I think you've got the wrong guy. And he's like, you're Will Ryan, aren't you? I said, yep. He says, you're into conspiracy theories, aren't you? I said, yep. If you want to term it like that, because the CIA programmed your mind 30 years ago. And he goes, well, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. I said, it's not me. This guy's like 38 or something. You know, I'm 26 here. I'm in Auckland. This guy's in Nelson. It's you. It's you. He kept calling me back. It's you. I'm like, I've wanted to go on your show on Close Up a number of times. I want to debate 9/11. I want to debate a number of things. You know, I got you Richard Gage on as a guest last year. He said, you know, we don't want to talk any of those things. We want to have you on about what you said to Nick Smith. And it was just so funny to see. I was just like, oh, this is why you guys can't work out 9/11's inside It's a New World Order, because you can't even work out my name, you imbecile.
Yeah, and I was getting emails from Will Ryan, who was trying to get on that program to talk about chemtrails, and he said that he'd emailed that reporter that you mentioned a number of times, but wasn't getting any replies. So, you know,
came after me and then ignored him.
Yeah, it's quite telling, really. So anyway, as well as writing to Dr. Nick Smith, which has been an absolute waste of time, but still interesting to see what kind of responses they come back with, I sent out 112 emails. I emailed 112 of our MPs about this technology being used, and I asked them to help stop the poisoning of our atmosphere from continuing. I wrote, in light of the damage it has done elsewhere, which the documentary What in the World Are They Spraying shows, the aluminium is poisoning the soil, and it can only be concluded that those who are behind this Dr. Strangelove-like activity are committing high treason in allowing this to occur in our sovereign airspace without our consent. And I only got a few replies back from the 112 emails that were sent out. The first one came from our MP Tao Henare, who replied fairly rapidly, "Don't be silly." The most thoughtful reply came from Frances Mountier, the executive assistant to Catherine Delahunty of the Green Party. And she wrote, "Thank you for your email." Sorry, Frances, yeah, wrote, "Thank you for your email. Catherine Delahunty has also considered it." And
and it's been and summarily said, dismissed.
Yeah, well, they just said they weren't going to focus on it. It wasn't in their area.
We'll be right back, folks, after the break with some more disappointing experiences with government, as if there's any other kind. From the hive mind. Yeah, live from the Fluoride Foundation of New Zealand. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Claire Swinney. Now, in terms of advocacy, you were saying, Claire, that government is basically programmed to not mm-hmm. respond to the chemtrail mm-hmm. issue. What do you mean by that?
Well, like, for example, this reply that I got from the executive assistant to Catherine Delahunty of the Green Party. She's the toxic spokesperson for the party. And it mentions that the Greens have to prioritise their toxic work to known chemicals, and in brackets it states, and even then are limited in what we can focus on. So it just seems, if you read between the lines, that they've been told that they can't address the matter of aerosols, chemtrails. And so it's evident that the political system has been set up not to respond to this issue, which leaves it in our court. I mean, the ball's in our court. So I think it's very important that people make an effort to educate their friends and family about what's going on, because we're not going to get it from the mainstream media. We're not going to get it from government.
This is all about self-responsibility, isn't it? And this is the mm-hmm. this is the key for me. It's regardless if you're left or right, let's forget about that and just say, at the end of the day, if we want more freedoms, we're going to have more responsibility. And the government handing out people's wages and the government regulating every form of human activity isn't giving us more responsibility. And when you lose the responsibilities, then you lose the actual ability to enact caring for yourself. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, trying to be a bodybuilder without doing any weightlifting. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And so people need to get back into weightlifting. People need to get back into going to City Hall, into fighting the corrupt mafia system. You know, and you've got two types of people in government anyway. You've got evil intelligentsia like John Key, and then you've mm-hmm. got retired fools who don't know anything that's going on. They genuinely don't know and they don't want to know. They just want to collect their 120K plus bonuses and, you know, and look cool on TV. And, you know, I call up Willie Jackson, former MP, and say about fractional reserve banking and the Federal Reserve, and it's completely documented in Money Mechanics, a PDF you can download off their own website. And he's like, nice idea, nice theory. And like, you know what I mean? Like I say, the sky's blue. And he's just like, hey, you know, up for your interpretation, you conspiracy theorist.
Hmm.
And yeah. it's really sad. Mm-hmm. And so it we have to really move sad. On from these people because they're just a waste mm-hmm. of time, the little egghead mm-hmm. buffoons. And
take responsibility for themselves. Yeah, I heard an MP who'd been in there for a couple of terms mentioned that if you're in for longer, then you're corrupt, you become corrupt, the way the system is. So,
I think it's a natural thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And we had a guest on a while back who was a police prosecutor for 15 years, and that's what she said about the police force, that if you're a good person, mm-hmm. You will either become a bad person by being there, or you will get out and remain good. And, mm-hmm. you know, I spoke to a couple of police officers the other day at a cannabis protest, and, you know, just told them to exercise their discretion when it comes to arresting young people for cannabis, and they were just like, oh, well, you know, it just depends on the circumstances. And then they started asking for the names of the protest leaders, and I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, sir, but I can't give that to you because it's not my place to say who the protest leaders are. You have to ask them yourself. And I say, oh, well, that's just anti-police behavior.
Well, they're anti-human. It's got right into their psyche, and they shouldn't be defined by their jobs. They should be defined by a beating heart.
Instead, they're defined by beating protesters. We'll be right back. This is dedicated to John Key. The Godfather.
What? I just want to enslave your country. Come on. What a fight about it.
Chateau de Key.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Apparently, it's a good idea to be a gangster in this time and age, because if you're not, you ain't going to get very far.
Our very special guest is Claire Swinney, coming at us live from New Zealand. And there was a Green Party response to chemtrailing that you wanted to read out, which leads into a case of a lady who's an organic farmer who apparently got sprayed with a chemtrail and then very, very shortly after came down deathly ill.
Mm. Yeah, the Green Party implied that they weren't going to focus on the issue of chemtrails when I emailed them. And I see the same thing happened to Betty Rowe and her husband. Betty Rowe came out to New Zealand in 1969 because she and her husband wanted to get away far from pollution, and ironically they ended up being poisoned from chemtrails. And they moved out to Arapower Island, which is at the northeast tip of the South Island, in 1972. And they set up an organic farm. They had goats and fruit trees. And anyway, she said that she did an interview with Mysterious New Zealand, which can be read on the internet at mysteriousnewzealand.co.nz. And she told Mysterious New Zealand that she first read about chemtrails in Investigate magazine. It was an article by William Thomas called Ghost Riders in the Sky, and it included some photographs of planes spraying aerosols. And a few days later, she said she was sitting on the couch looking out the window and she saw these trails, and she said, that's just what I've been reading about. And within a few days of seeing those trails, she became sick. And she developed a terrible cough, and she ended up having to sit in a chair at night, and she would just cough and cough and cough. She couldn't lie down. She developed extreme itching of her eyes, a constant runny nose, ulcers on her tongue, strange rashes all over her body, swellings, a couple of lumps came up under her skin. All sorts of peculiar things started to happen to her, she said. And also the plants on the island, she had lilies. They all died. She had a herd of goats, as mentioned. 13 of those died. Four of them lost all of their hair, and two of them became blind and developed strange-shaped pupils. Also, the goats, when they gave birth, unfortunately, the offspring would die a few days later, and also the goats were aborting as well. And she mentioned that her husband, who'd seemed perfectly healthy, walked in the house one day and he just dropped dead. And also, Betty, she ended up passing away a few years ago as well. And judging from the symptoms that she reported, it would be of no surprise that she died as a result of the poisoning that she was experiencing. Yeah, and there again, she wrote to the Green Party and she didn't get any response, so she contacted them and said, have you put it in the too hard basket? And the reply was, well, something like that. And she said that she knew that they'd been told about this problem before. They'd got letters from other people about it, but they wouldn't address the matter, which is it's very sad when you've got a government that is seemingly unable to deal with this horrendous problem.
I remember when I was in covering the 2008 election, and the candidates for Auckland were all having a big rigmarole sort of meeting at the Auckland University. And one person was holding up a sign. There were five different candidates from different parties. And one person was holding up a sign that said, one coin, five sides. And it kind of really personified for me the mad illusion of choice that we have in mm-hmm. this country in terms of politicians is that they mm-hmm. all follow the so-called party line, and every single party subscribes to the exact same thing, ignorance, mm-hmm. and via their ignorance, genocide, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't give mm-hmm. a flying F, and that's what really concerns me.
Part of it can be explained without conspiracy. See, part of it can be explained like clothing labels or car manufacturers. You notice 2010 Holden Commodores looking very similar to Ford Falcons and Toyota Camrys and Mitsubishi Diamantes. You know, because they follow certain trends, because they don't want to veer too much from where the rest of the market is. They don't want to take a big risk because the car could be a flop. And it's the same with political parties. They're going to where they think the hearts and minds are. And if they think the hearts and minds are in McDonald's garbage politics, then that's where they're going to be. If you come up and stand for anything real and principled, when there aren't many real and principled people in the country, you're not going to do very well. And this is a sad thing. So rather than try and change the culture and invest in ideas to bring about a culture of liberty and true freedom and responsibility and you know, it won't be a perfect world. It's never going to be a perfect world, but somewhat better. Get rid of the fiat mm-hmm. banking system. Kick the foreign debtors out of this country. Stop taking money off the Japanese and the Europeans, and just issue our own currency as we could be legally entitled to do. Instead, they just follow the mantra of whatever it is the establishment mm-hmm. line, because that's not, you know, because that's safe. But then, so some of it can be explained like that, but then when you get into actual false flag terror and putting fluoride in the water with radioactive isotopes whilst a bunch of greenies complain about having nuclear-powered ships come into the country, when you have these staringly hypocritical realities, mm-hmm. then it gets into the realm of actual premeditated conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, I don't know how they can call themselves the Green Party, really, and turn a blind eye to this poisoning of the environment that's going on. As has been shown in the States, the aluminium in the chemtrails is turning the formerly acidic soil into a neutral soil, and it's killing off the trees, and wildlife are dying very rapidly. It's just...
And ultimately, we depend on that, don't we? I mean, people can say, oh, I don't care about Africans, I don't care about Asians, I don't care about all these other people. But if they care about themselves, even if they're the most selfish person out there, they should be on our side here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're wrecking your planet, they're wrecking your food, they're wrecking your water. And if you just want to have a culture of death, and like I say, same with the climate change, just kill yourselves. I mean, I don't really want you to kill yourselves, but if that's your ultimate conclusion on things, that nothing matters, and we should just have a radioactive, toxic landscape with fluoridated water. I mean, fluoridated water, they harp on about 1080. There's 1080, and 1080 gets in waterways, and it does. And I'm against 1080 drops too, and I know it's banned in the US and Europe and still legal here in New Zealand. But the active ingredient in 1080 is sodium fluoride acetate, a salt version of the sodium fluoride that's in our water supplies. Mm-hmm. And so what do you mean it's the 1080 might get into our waterways? All the tap water running out of Auckland taps right now that finds its way down the drain is getting into waterways. Once it goes, after it goes through your body and it helps kill you off softly.
Well, it's not so much the going through the body, because apparently the only way that fluoride can enter the environment without being toxic is if it's filtered through human kidneys, because we tend to absorb it into us. But that's not the point. The point
but most of it doesn't
runs. Yeah, exactly, because most of it we shower in, we wash our dishes in it, we wash our cars with it, we wash our food with it, and it all ends up in the sea.
Yeah, and the Green Party say nothing about it, even though you can't dump the stuff directly into the sea, you can do it in a second degree fashion, and no one can see it. It's like if I paid someone to kill someone else, would I not be responsible? I mean, it's ridiculous. And so we've got all these investigators out there, and these murder investigators, and these people who go back to their wife and kids, work for the police, and yeah, I work for New Zealand. Yeah, I'm tough, you know? And they think they're big patriots, and they've got John Key above their mantelpiece and Kiwi flags flying around their holdings and stuff. I mean, let's get real here. I mean, you know, you're not a patriot if you stand by and drink the poison water. And you're not a patriot if you stand by and think MSG doesn't kill people's brain cells and aspartame didn't give rats tumors in 80% of studies. And I mean, what a sick world we have to live in. And at the same time, every 3 years, we have to listen to this, oh, we care about the children and vote for us. We're gonna decrease debt and we're going to stop, you know, so much welfare spending and we're going to do this. And all these little half-truths. So frustrating.
Yeah. And I think with geoengineering, with the chemtrailing, this is really going to lead the planet into serious trouble. Like, for example, Dame Wigington reported earlier in the year that at Mount Shasta, they've been keeping records of the changes to the environment that have been occurring. And in 4 years, the salmon spawning has crashed in a local tributary from 160,000 to just 8,000. And about 80% of amphibious species have died off. And the potato harvest has declined by 80%. So it does look as if the people in control of this are nihilistic madmen. They don't care.
It's like the freshwater fish in Britain. Sorry, Claire, you've heard about them turning female, you know, feminized fish and amphibians. And we've had a guest on talking about that, saying how the Y chromosome is more fragile, and so by default you end up with more females in certain populations. And we can see this in certain areas of the human population now. It used to be in this country around 52-53% female. Now that's increasing. And then we see feminized men getting around, and they just say, oh, that's my choice, and yada, yada, yada. Choice? It being feminized with weaponized food and water. And then they just say, that's my freedom of choice. Don't you understand? And, you know, just so, like, there's so much illogical rationalization that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you, homophobic or something? Don't you like everyone being feminized? I mean, this is, you know,
yeah, it's a human species.
They don't realize that the human species isn't male. The human species isn't female. The human species is the unity of both. People don't seem to understand that.
And there's been this ridiculous kind of feminist movement, right? And you know, I'm all for women being able to work if they choose and that kind of thing. But if you, as a man, say that men are needed in a family to function properly, you get laughed out of the room. It's insane.
That's old thinking, Vinny. That's old 18th century Christian thinking.
Yeah, what are you talking about? having a stable family unit and having both a female and a male example, so your children know what to expect, and then have an example of how a relationship actually works, and knowing how to go about it. You know, for F's sake.
It's the whole drive of our species. It's a central premise of our species. I haven't got children. I'm 26 years old. But, you know, but it's the whole – I understand that it's the whole drive of our species. Mm-hmm. You see – you just look into the animal world. There's moths outside here that live a day and they die after reproducing. You know, but everyone now thinks the drive of the species is to work and pay the government lots of money and sit around playing video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's yeah. How do we combat this, Claire? I mean, how sad is this becoming?
It is sad. It's pretty difficult, isn't it, when people are sitting in front of the television all the time. Yeah, I think
and then
we should
go, look, there's too many people anyway. There's too many people anyway. I would really like to see the proof of that. Like, that's mainstream propaganda. I know, like, 95% of people have been propagandized on that point. And then most of them aren't bad people or eugenicists or anything, but, like, there's too many people. There are lots of people in lots of parts of the world, sure, but they've concentrated us and herded us around these work camps we call cities. People think they're beautiful, hideous. I mean, there aren't – how much of the world is populated by landmass? Something like 4%. 4% of this planet is urbanized, according to the CIA World Fat Book. Too many people.
That's not much.
I thought it was 1%. And indeed, recently my brother sent me a link talking about ghost cities in China. Seriously, Google that. It is absolutely astounding. There are whole cities, including one, a university campus where you can fit up to 12 million people and there are only 11,000 students enrolled.
It's like Detroit. It's like Detroit, you know, once was the car manufacturing capital, you know, where Ford got kicked off. And now that's a ghost town. Not even the gangs want to be there anymore. There's not enough people to steal from.
Well, that's one way to keep the crime down. Get the people that you can steal stuff off to leave.
Just evacuate the whole city. It's no jobs.
And supposedly this is part of the old Agenda 21. This is a part of the old Agenda 21, really, to kind of shut down cities and shut down wildlands areas and things like this, and just to let it all go back to Gaia. It's madness, absolute craziness that we're allowing this to happen, and it's basically because everybody is not informed whatsoever. You'll never be able to get this kind of information that you'll get on this show from mainstream media, I can assure you. And even if they did start talking about it, they would only be doing it to co-opt you into trusting them again after they've been lying to you day in, day out for the perceivably your entire lifetime.
So, Claire, isn't it mad when we've got the majority of the population who believes in the premise of fighting the sun, which controls our climate ultimately, regardless of what the governments want to do? People want to fight the sun. Don't want to fight politicians and bankers and ruthless con artists out there. And then they think the only con artists are like some, you know, the only scams that go on. The media don't call them conspiracies. They reserve that term for us. The only scams that go on is like some insurance company ripped off some minor baloney.
Yep, the power of television, eh?
It's a wonderful brainwashing tool. Speaking of which, You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Best brainwashing tool in the world. We'll be right back. The New World Order is no good for me. It's summertime in New Zealand. Those of you planning to go out and have a nice camping trip this summer, it's a shame FEMA can't help you here in New Zealand. But speaking of going on a nice camping trip, if you want to go to Cancun and take part in the relocation ceremony, Claire's been telling us over the break that part of the discussion that's going on there is relocation of entire populations so to reduce our carbon emissions. What's that about, Claire?
Yeah, the meeting in Cancun that is finished now, I understand, but they were discussing apparently relocating people to the idea of forced relocation of entire populations in the name of offsetting man-made climate change. And, yeah, that was in the executive summary of the Special Climate Change Program. And it just makes you wonder, they've got this technology that can be used to induce droughts. And so potentially they've got the ability to make an area uninhabitable. Crops won't be able to grow. Farms will be shutting down and farmers will be selling their stock because there's no water. And then what happens to the population? I mean, when there's no food and there's no water. And it just seems like this is maybe something that they've got planned for the future. That's looking at the dark side of the spectrum. But I think we need to look at the dark side of the spectrum when you're talking about people who are as ruthless and psychopathic as these people.
Sticking with what they've even admitted to, Al Gore's come out and said it. George Soros has proclaimed it also. David de Rothschild, one of the youngest of the Rothschild dynasty, has also come out saying global governance is the only solution, that there's too many people pulling in different ways and we need a united front. And I believe in unity too, but not their sort of unity under their banner.
A united front
against climate change, and we all need to get behind the UN because they're the central pillar and cause, and you know, because obviously they've got all the bank of money. And people don't believe me on that. They need to look into the founding of Greenpeace, the funding of the WWF, for instance, all these groups, and it all goes back to the British royals and all the agents of what the left would call capitalism that they supposedly stand against. Meanwhile, they empower the world's largest corporation, the Federal Reserve Bank, privately owned. But you see, like, they need to follow the money. And a lot of people say about all these issues, they go, look, William, they go, I can't do anything about it. I've just got to follow the rules at the end of the day. Just leave me alone. I just want to live my life. I've got to follow the rules. The government tells me what to do, and I have to pay it, and I have to do this. And I know, pragmatically, all of us do have to. But you can still, intellectually, not physically, nothing has to be physical here, rebel against it and say, no, I'm not going to believe that trash about Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to go along with this climate change scam. No, I'm not going to drink their water or eat their food. And you can intellectually rebel. And this is all that it takes for this whole empire to fall apart, is a changing of your mind. It's all in your mind. That's why they spend billions of dollars in propagandizing you. If it wasn't in your mind, they wouldn't go to all this effort, you see, playing all these mind games and confusing matters and having all these phony, bogus economic and political terms of confusion. So once you see what the reason for it all is, if you go back to living in your own simple, principled fashion and stop supporting them in as many ways as possible, No, it's not entirely possible to cut all ties. I still have an IRD number and all the rest of it. Then we can maybe change something here. But otherwise, if you think you can't do anything about your central government and they've got you hoodwinked, then what are you going to do against a world government? And how is world government a good idea? How is it a good idea to put more power, the world's power, into fewer hands and make it more efficient at killing us all?
Yeah, and on that topic, I think it's important to mention that with all the crops that have been killed off over the last few years, it's important that people get a store of food, start storing food now if you haven't already. And
but don't worry, the government will tell your fellow neighbours to report that as suspicious activity, storing food.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
That's just such a rosy future, isn't it, you know?
People will believe it because the government's their father figure, mother figure, whatever, and they're attached to them with an umbilical cord of tax, and that's all that matters.
Yeah,
the Federal Reserve System is at the core of the problem, really, isn't it? That's what's funding all the problems that we've got, including the geoengineering.
Well, yeah, I mean, they follow the money, and I don't think money is behind everything, but I think it's their tool behind controlling this fake world. Mm-hmm. And if people want to go to the core of corruption, then they need to understand the banking system. But 90% of the voting population, at least in this country, does not understand the banking system. They think they do, but they don't.
No. Yeah. And if people want to get further idea of who's funding geoengineering, have a look at the Climate Institute donors. You'll see a list there that includes Rockefeller, BP, Shell, and apparently Bill Gates is a heavy funder of it as well. And we know that Bill Gates has this idea that the population should be drastically reduced, which tells you a lot about geoengineering. And also, you can get an idea of the mindset behind it if you read about what John Holdren believes, because he's a heavy advocate of geoengineering. And, yes, he's a eugenicist through and through, isn't he?
Well, John P. Holdren advocates in his book Ecoscience using sterilants in food. No, he's not just going after people you don't want around, he's going after you.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
because you know, there's a lot of ordinary people, you know, racist ideologies are easy to hold and easily promulgated by some of the things we see on the surface in society. But keep in mind that just as you might not like some people over in Asia, there are an elite of people whose bloodline goes back centuries at least, who make up our monarchs, royal families, from William of Orange to Saxe Coburg Gotha sitting on the crown in London to the Bush family. It goes on and on. Cheney, Obama, they're all related. They see the rest of us as scum.
Mm-hmm.
As clean looking as you are, as hard working as you are, how many houses and boats you have, they think you're trash. And they go to places like Bohemian Grove and talk about that, how you're fools and they need to burn you. And look up Bohemian Grove ritual. Mm-hmm. They just talk about the profane, the goyim, the uninitiated. We're fools. And so other people might be scum to you, but just keep in mind that someone else is thinking the same of you, and they probably have more power. You can think someone else is scum. You can't do much about it. These guys actually can, because they're setting the parameters of our life here, as long as we let them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it brings back to me, I mean, just how long these things have been going on for. I remember seeing a video the other day of a chemtrail in 1938 Nazi Germany. You know, holy cow! How long has this been going on?
Well, the Nazi people. Most people don't know anything about the Nazi technology they had. I mean, they came up with the ME211, you know, the Messerschmitt jet engines. To go against the British big Merlin, 14-litre piston engines and the Spitfires. I mean, the Germans were ahead in a lot of ways, but they even had these flying saucer schematics. And anyone can look up the diagrams, pictorials of these things. The Waffen-SS, Werner von Braun came up with it, the guy who sketched NASA's first space shuttle.
Go ahead, Claire.
I was going to say, on the topic of flying saucers, John Ison, the editor of Uncensored magazine, mentioned that a few weeks ago he was looking out the window in Auckland using a telescope, and he saw what looked like a flying saucer emitting a chemtrail. So, and also there's been quite a number of orbs being seen around the world, as you probably know, near chemtrails, and so that looks like they're using this free energy technology, and it's probably way beyond what we can imagine.
I mean, myself, I don't like to get into the whole realm of speculation there, but you know, the Black Ops budget as of May 2009 was reported to be over $50 billion on classified programs, over $50 billion US. And that's the Black Ops. But then there's lots of budgets that aren't even Black Ops that get tapered into such programs.
Yeah, and what happens to the...
They've got this underground base program that's mainstream. Mm. They've got all sorts of X-wing, Delta-wing aircraft and direct energy technology. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's totally possible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Nazis were ahead of the curve back then. Who knows what they got now?
And supposedly technology is far in advance of anything that we can see. You know, just wandering around on the streets. You know, I mean, you think a USB hard drive that's the size of your finger being able to hold 100 gigabytes is advanced technology. Mate. You know, there's way more wicked stuff out there.
Well, back in 2001, anyone can look up this report too. You can Google this. Google spider goats, U.S. military. They were putting spider genes into goats, so they would come out with a stranded, like, Kevlar carbon fiber-type material within the milk. Now, who knows? It would probably kill the goats. Just rip them open, get this material out, and then the military were experimenting with making armor suiting with it, with this stuff. You know, instead of having the old... old chivalric orders in Britain and their mighty 50 kg armor, crayfish-looking suits, quite amazing stuff. But now they're coming up with even more advanced composites than Kevlar and carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got their nanotube technology too, carbon nanotube technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all going in, it's all going in a certain direction. And it looks like this Brave New World 1984 something merger between them. Scenario. Mm-hmm. Most people can't get their heads around a mobile phone, let alone the stuff. I mean, they've got robotic bugs, robotic beetles. You can Google that also. Little circuit board spy bugs that can fly around, recording conversations and getting secret documents, passwords, or whatever they're up to.
Yeah.
I mean, actual beetles.
Yeah.
And, you know, and David Rockefeller is actually a beetle expert, if you see that. If you go into his bio there, David Rockefeller has many beetles named after him. He's a bit of a, I don't know what you call a beetle expert, do you? I know bird experts like an ornithologist and herpetologist. And I don't know what a beetle expert is. It could be a new name.
We call them Rockefellers because they're experts in knowing how to be a cockroach.
Well, there's a beetle. There's a little bug thing called Rockefeller, the Latin derivative of his name.
Oh, I bet you, you know, they've probably got like huge amounts of stuff like that, like on what's it called, Silence of the Lambs, you know, how he keeps how he keeps all these moths and stuff like that in his apartments, all the killing people. Goodness knows what these Rockefellers are up to. It's probably based on their home in Maryland or something.
Plagues of Rockefeller beetles carrying NSA weapons guidance systems flying through the streets of New York.
Yeah, if you keep your eyes peeled, I think you can see all sorts of things in the environment that you wouldn't expect to be there. Like, for example, someone reported seeing a white orb over the sea close to here, and there's been small white sensors seen floating around the air. Well, they look like sensors. I don't know if they are or not. And fibres as well. A lot of fibres are seen in association with chemtrails.
And we'll get into that just after the break. The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The Real X-Files. Welcome back. Final segment of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio is the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM in the Tron. Welcome to all our new listeners there. Don't touch that dial. And we were talking about some weird stuff over the break, like orbs and cloaking technology and things of this nature. And, you know, censored technology is a very, very interesting topic, even at the worst of times. And some people, radio hosts in particular, tend to shy away from those particular topics because of the gravity of the strangeness of them, really. I don't know, personally, I don't know what I believe most of the time, even from day to day, because I would wager that I don't know at least 99% of the knowledge that is out there, even if I was like an intelligent person or a well-informed person. I would still assume that I know sweet FA about the true reality of which we live in. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And Claire, you know, being in Whangarei, north of New Zealand, and talking about these sorts of topics, I mean, do you experience any discrimination from the general public or harassment or anything along those lines?
Yeah, there's a couple of chaps who live locally who have been plaguing the Northern New Zealand Chemtrails website, and they almost seem quite obsessed, and they say that the public needs to be protected from my ideas and that I'm sick, and I keep getting messages about I'm sick and crazy, and these guys, I mean, they've seen so much evidence to show that chemtrails are real. I gave them a copy of What in the World Are They Spraying, which convincingly shows that this is going on, and Aerosol Crimes by Clifford Carnicom and Endgame. They've seen plenty of evidence, and yet they're still harping on, claiming that I'm crazy, I just find it very difficult to understand how people can wallow in denial like that. I mean, don't they realise that this has been done against them as well, and they need to face it?
It's almost as if society is degraded to be being a whole bunch of ostriches that just pop their heads right in the sand and then just hope to God that whatever was sneaking up behind them as soon as they stop looking at it isn't there anymore. You know, it's like a child playing peekaboo, you know. They put their hands in front of their face and they say, you can't see me.
It's just terrible to have ideas like you, Claire. I mean, it's just so terrible. The public needs to be protected from their own minds. Their own bronze firing.
You are scum and you're dangerous.
Oh, yeah, like synapses firing off in people's heads go in different directions in their ordinary, you know, in their ordinary routine. That's dangerous. That's terror. Electrical synapses are terrorists. Yeah.
One of these guys says the government doesn't lie, so.
If you say so, pal. If you say so. What a piece of crap, to be honest. Not going to mix my words.
Seriously, if somebody could point me out something, like a day in history where the government didn't tell a lie, I would be shocked.
This is the thing, though. It's not like what most people are used to in life, or he says, she says, and all these things of no consequence. The stuff we're talking about, most of it, not all of it, but has consequences. If 9/11 was an inside job, it has dire consequences. It means the criminals are still getting paid and in charge of foreign policy and set in a lot of the world's foreign policy and domestic policy also. It's got huge ramifications. Now, people saying the government doesn't lie when government's killed 100 plus million people in the last century conservatively, if you add up all the phony wars, admittedly now staged, wars such as Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin, admitted staged 5 years ago, 6 years ago. These people are killers. Someone who says the government doesn't lie is in fact a killer. People like him and their mentality is killing this country by a thousand cuts, killing this world.
Yeah. And what worries me is how many people out there have that mentality. Because when the crunch comes, they're probably going to come after people like you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what stage are we going to have brown shirts on the streets of New Zealand, you know? It's oh my God. The thing I find is that some people, they let their emotions, particularly anger and fear, rule their logic. And it is just insane. You know, quite frankly, to govern your life like that. I mean, I had people contacting me on Facebook going, Vinny, what do you think about gays? Are you for or against? And I say, well, you know, I'm not homosexual, and that's the way I'd like it. And he goes, oh, you're too wishy-washy for me. You would burn in the fires like the rest of the sodomites. And it's like, you know, it's just nuts. You know,
at least he's got some conviction though.
Hey, yeah, I know, but your conviction should be based on truth, not based on hate, you know?
Then first comes truth, and then I admit that I know it's sad, I do hate some of these people out there, because not the majority, the majority of people are good, 95% of people are good, but some of these guys, like a popular mechanics who cover up for the government's lies, I know the truth, firstly, and then emotionally, I hate their guts.
But your hate doesn't... But your hate doesn't determine whether or not it's the truth, and that's
no,
what
you keep
I was
it logical
say.
First, and then the hate comes, hate or love comes afterwards.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Claire, for coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of a hateful conversation later on.
Okay.
Thanks, Claire.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All right. There she goes, Claire Swinney, ladies and gentlemen, from ClaireSwinney.wordpress.com. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be back tomorrow.